Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome into a fantastic edition of On The Beat Live. I'm Tommy Ashley, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Whole band together, folks. Adam Smith, Evan Rogers, Jeremiah Holloway. Need to throw a Congruity ad up beside Jeremiah's head. There it is. We're sponsored by Congruity as well. Let's get right into it, boys. Media availability today. Carolina and Duke on Saturday. I just had to show up for that media availability. It was fascinating. It is amazing who comes out of the woodwork for Duke Carolina Media Day. Lively crowd. Adam, I'll come to you first. You've been doing this a long time. I don't think we've ever seen a player more seasoned than Armando Bacot. I mean, the cursed stat of him, when he starts on Saturday night, he will have started more games than anybody in the history of ACC has even played. And I haven't counted it up, but I'm sure this is probably his 10th, 11th. Maybe 12th game against Duke. I mean, Bacot's seen and heard it all going into Cameron. He's going to see and hear a lot Saturday night, too.
What did he say? They're kind of mean to him over there? Didn't he say that today, I think?
He said those people
Jeremiah had a story
mean.
The first time around about – how many is it, Jeremiah? Is it – he's played 10 now, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, he's played 10. He's about to play his 11th.
Yep. I remember he had it, it – we had that. It was one of the sort of the preview ones.
And he's 5-5 now, 5-5.
That's his record? Okay. Yeah. But, well, that means it fits just everything. Like, since, you know, the what is it, the last – I'm not sure what the stat is on the last 100. I know we had in the – I guess it was the instant story the other night that this will be the 50th time that UNC and Duke have played each other when they've been in the top 10. And do you guys know what the records are? It's 25-24 – favoring UNC.
The points are right there too. I mean, the points are right on it.
Armando's career record's indicative of just what makes this thing so special. But yeah, he's never not entertaining. And we talked to RJ Davis today. We talked to Harrison Ingram today. We talked to Hubert Davis today. And it's just cool. You know, I'm sure you guys probably agree. Like, it's just cool when these big games are coming. I feel like, I mean, it's what keeps you, you know, like, it makes you feel alive, doesn't it? Like, I just love it when a game like this is coming. And, you know, they've already played once, obviously, but I'm still interested to see these matchups. And I'm still interested to see just how this thing plays out. Like, will it play out like we think it plays out? What, Armando had 25-10 the first game. I think Harrison Ingram had 21-13. Obviously, Duke, the way they defended RJ Davis, they were trying to take him out of it. I'm just, you know, it's super exciting. And obviously, when you go over to Cameron Indoor Stadium, the old barn that it is, that's just such a different dynamic because of, you know, the hostility and the fact that they literally can reach out and touch you. So, yeah, TA, I thought it was great having you there today. I'm sorry I cut you off on a question. That's I owe you already for covering for us a couple times and just throw it on the list of stuff that I owe you. But
no, I was just amazed, and I said it. I never would have thought Steve Kirshner would have stood up for Tommy Ashley.
Look at that.
I was, I mean, it's a new day. It was amazing. And it was awesome. Shout out to him for letting me slide one in under the rail. But yeah, I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it. I did find it interesting, Harrison Ingram's comments about, you know, it's kind of weird how close they are and all that. He ain't seen nothing. I mean, you can go to a volleyball game, you can go to a women's basketball game, you can go to whatever. There's nothing like what he's about to see. And so, Jeremiah, I'll bring you in here. Give me a quote from today or whenever. I think today was full of them. But, yeah, I had to lead with Duke Carolina because, really, is there anything bigger than that in college sports? It's cool that you guys get to hands-on cover it. We at Inside Carolina get to be a part of it because it is, in fact, I mean, there is nothing like it in sports.
Man, I will say, like, kind of going off of what Adam was saying, like, just the excitement of covering a game like that. Like, you know, sometimes in sports where, you know, you can kind of tell or you kind of say, oh, a player gets up for this game. They see this and they get up for this game. I'm a little bit like that when it comes to some of these. Like, if it's, you know, certain game, not that, I mean, obviously every game, you know, you want to go in and, like, you know, do the best, like, job you can. But there is certain games that's different. Like, I'm not afraid to say it. Like, there are games that are just different. So, Saturday is going to be a game like that. And, like, we talk a lot about, and kind of getting to my quote, we talk a lot about, obviously, the experience of Armando Bacot and his role in this rivalry. But any other year, you know, we'd probably talk a little bit more about someone like a RJ who's, you know, this is his fourth year, and he's played quite a few of these as well. Because the quote I have actually is from RJ, and I'm going to kind of explain it. So the other night, of course, you know, being UNC's senior night, we know that that's Armando's last time playing in the Smith Center. We don't actually know if that's RJ Davis's last time playing in the Smith Center. And that could have, you know, big implications for the future, you know, just depending on what they want to do at the guard spot. And then obviously, I mean, you see the season that he's having. So the quote that I had from the other day is a very short one. We were talking to him. This was actually a question I asked him because obviously he had a lot of one more year chance and you had people had the signs that said RJ one more year. So I asked him a little bit about it. And he just said, I already know their minds are made up, but mine isn't. So the reason I brought that one in there is because, first of all, when I was writing my story after the game, like while I'm writing it, I'm kind of thinking like, this is a little bit surreal in a sense. Like he has a player option. Like, you know, we like, you know, we watch NBA and all this stuff. Like this guy has a player option. Like he literally has a chance to either, you know, test the waters and, you know, do what he's doing, or he can like come back. And it's perfectly within his right to do that. And obviously he had two teammates the last couple of years do the exact same thing. So, you know, I mean, the fact that it's even a conversation, you know, growing up, that's not something I remember, you know, some years like, oh, you want to come back for your junior year. You want to come back for your sophomore year. Like we've seen that, but we haven't seen a guy play 4 years and then just come back because he can. And obviously that's something that, you know, he's able to do, and that would have implications on not only, I guess, the, you know, UNC record books and his individual UNC legacy, but also how good that team could even be next season. So, yeah, I decided to go with that one just because, you know, the uncertainty kind of surrounding, you know, is he coming back? He says that he doesn't know. This is something from today. Today he actually did, you know, admit and say, I'm not going to act like I don't think about it. Someone asked him, I don't remember the exact question. Evan or Adam may remember the exact question, but I remember him saying, you know, I'm not going to act like I don't think about it. So, you know, just something to, you know, kind of consider depending on how far UNC goes and where the season ends up ending.
Yeah, it was one of the TV people asked him about the looking ahead. And, yeah, he freely admitted, I think about it. You know, it's funny how everybody else says, no, I don't worry about that. It's all shout out to him for being honest about it. To piggyback and steal a quote, maybe in the future on this show, is RJ talking about Adam. I think you asked him about the emotion that Bacot showed after the Notre Dame game, and RJ didn't show any. And it makes you think about it when you hear that or see that, you think about, well, he knows he's coming back, blah, 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 blah. But that's not how he answered it. He answered it. He said, I was just so happy for Armando and those guys. I mean, This team, Hubert talks about connectivity. RJ and Baycott are connected for the rest of their lives, but they're as connected as can be, Adam, right here, right now, on this floor that they walk out onto for 30 times, and it'll be the 31st time on Sunday or Saturday night. I thought that was a pretty cool moment.
Right. Isn't it fascinating how we all do this? Roy retires unexpectedly. He kissed the court. We should have known. Mac is crying after UNC beats Duke in football. Oh, he must be retiring. RJ had predicted to us, I will probably shed a tear. He said it again today. I was thinking I would shed a tear. And then he was saying to us after the game the other night against Notre Dame, the final game of the home schedule for UNC. It hasn't hit me yet. And I don't know why it hasn't hit me. So like automatically, like everyone goes into, or at least dorks like me go into, armchair psychiatrist. You have an armchair quarterback. This is an armchair psychiatrist. I'm in no way qualified to do any of that, obviously, but I'm like, oh yeah, well, you know what? It's because he knows he has more games here. So that's why across the room, Armando is crying, which, my God, I'm sure we'll get into that. What a moment. And then on the other side of the room, RJ is very playfully calling Armando a big baby. You know, well, Armando's a big baby anyway. It was what he said to us. I think that all of this will go into, you know, we're stockpiling all these things for whatever RJ does. And you're talking about the question today was from one of the WRAL reporters who does not usually cover UNC. Pat Welter of WRAL usually covers them, and maybe he's off today. Maybe he was in Greensboro for the women's tournament. I don't know. But, you know, these questions have been asked of RJ. We've asked them, obviously. And I saw a few people make a face kind of like, well, he's already been asked. But he did say, of course I've thought about it, because of course he has. Last week, I think it was, I asked him, and he's like, you know, I haven't really thought about that, which was not true. You know, when Jeremiah and Evan can vouch for me on this, when I asked him last week, I think, it was going into the NC State game, right? And I said, are you approaching the NC State and Notre Dame games as if they'll be your last two games in the Smith Center? And so there was a pause, because I think he was trying to figure out what exactly to say. And then he goes, well, I haven't really thought about that, which, come on. He has, but what he said today was the truth. You know, I mean, how could you not? As closely as we follow these guys, you know, you're looking for everything. Will RJ come off the court and become a puddle of tears in Hubert's arms as he hugs him? Armando lifted up his arms and waved goodbye. Did RJ wave goodbye? But I thought all those guys had great stuff today. You know, it's just the we're lucky to talk to some of these guys because they are pros at it. They're cool with us asking anything. You know, I'm all the time picking on RJ for coming in there with his no shoes on and his stocking feet. You know, he looks like some kid getting ready to go to bed because he's probably getting his, you know, ankles taped after he's done talking to us to go to practice. But yeah, I'll shut up and let Evan get in here. I'm babbling.
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, that's the cool thing about having guys that have been around for a long time and not being the one-and-done factory, because you don't even really get to talk to the one-and-done guys or even, I mean, it's like, and not knocking on Duke because Carolina's had their fair share of one-and-done. It's just like, oh, you remember Tony Bradley? It's like, who? You know, I mean, it's that way, and Baycott and RJ have been in forever. All right, Evan, I've been stiff arming you out, keeping you out of here. Kind of remind me of Sam Hartman at the combine down there with the hair. You made a hair joke today earlier. You need to unmute yourself before I get to pick on you further. But get in here with a quote for us and sort of wrap up the quote section of the show. Because there's some questions in the chat, and I'm trying to mark them, and we're going to answer them on the second half of the show. But get in here, Evan. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, I was going to use one from the Armando moment after the game, but I think it'd be fitting more to just kind of dive into that deeper later on. So I like something that Harrison said talking to us today on the topic of the opportunity UNC has to win the outright ACC regular season title. And he said, "We didn't really celebrate after the Notre Dame win. Like, it was cool to get that feeling, but our eyes went straight to the Duke game. Knowing that we might have gotten a share, but we definitely don't want to share it with them. We definitely do not want to share it with Duke." And it's something that I've kind of started to pick up just talking with a lot of the players and hearing what Hubert says, that they genuinely care about winning an outright. I don't think they are entirely, satisfied can kind of get a little corny, but I think it's fitting in this scenario, in that I don't think they are satisfied with that share. I mean, UNC hasn't won the outright title since 2017. They had a share with UVA in 2019, but this is a game that obviously it's UNC Duke. I mean, there's going to be plenty of motivation going into it, especially when you're going on the road and playing in that kind of environment. But just hearing how they talk about wanting to win the outright title, and how, you know, I think Jeremiah mentioned in his article, UNC has been atop the ACC standings since ACC play started. I mean, they have not been lower than first, and they're not going to finish lower than, I guess, a tie for first. But I think they are taking some kind of a little bit of a pride going into there and wanting to take what I think they feel like they've earned, and they certainly do not want to share it with Duke. And hearing that coming from a guy like Harrison, who's only been in the rivalry now for, what, a month and change? I guess they played them on February 4th or 3rd. I just kind of think that speaks to just the approach these guys have and just kind of the overall mentality that I think they're taking over there. And it's kind of weird. I think about a week or two ago, I didn't think UNC had really any of a chance of going in there. I think, and I still think, Duke is playing their best basketball of the year, and they're playing like a legitimate top five, top 10 team in the country. And I just thought the environment and just how Duke was playing was going to be too tough to overcome. And I'm not saying I think UNC is going to go in there and win necessarily, but I actually think they have a legitimate shot of going in there and winning, just because of a number of factors. But I think most importantly, just they've got some guys on there who are approaching this game as not only a UNC Duke game, but just an opportunity to kind of win something and hang something up and get something material that they think they deserve and they want it outright.
They talk a lot about. And if you listen to Theo and Justin's thing about how NC State and not the rival and all that kind of stuff. But to Harrison's point, they do not want to share it with Duke. They don't want to share it with anybody, but specifically with Duke. And he made sure he said that. An interesting quote from Baycott today about 2 years ago. What did he say, Jeremiah, when he was talking about that game 2 years ago? He was like, "I'm not sure we had any business winning that game 2 years ago."
I say, he was like, "That's that." It's so funny because that's such a reflective comment too. Like, that's one where it's like, because you know what's fun? So that was, I actually was at that one, the one that they won in 22. I actually was at that one. I somewhat remember asking him about like the dunk he had at the end, just kind of thinking about, you know, not trying to lose. I remember when they had him on Zoom like a few days before that. And I remember asking him like the matchup with Paolo and like, you know, Mark Williams and the challenges that could be presented there, because yeah, obviously, you know, they went and dominated them in the Smith Center the first time. So I was like, you know, what kind of challenges they present. So he just, he sits there and he just goes, sits for probably 5 seconds. "I don't know. I don't really have a comment on that." So I was like, okay. So I could kind of tell from there that it was like a different, you know, they had a little bit of a different energy. And it's kind of something that fake Mark Williams, that's good. But I don't know. It's like, it kind of just reminds you of just how wild that like portion of their season was that year. So you can go turn around a couple years later and be like, how did that happen? Like, what was that? And so even he who was on the team, I don't know. I guess that was kind of a moment for him of like, what happened there? Like, you know, what was that game? Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny coming from him. But I mean, of course it came from him. I don't know that it would come from anybody else on that team. So
yeah. RJ say, "What you see, what you get" with Baycott. He always lets it out. the fact they came back a month later and did it again, or 2 months later and did it again in the Final Four, I still can't believe that. Just absolutely. And Mark Williams in the chat, fake Mark Williams or not, make some free throws, my friend. You make free throws in the Final Four, it might be different.
Shout out to the real Mark Williams, man.
yeah. That's one of those classic memes, I guess, of missing that free throw. Adam, wrap us up on the quote section. Anything else stand out from today? I thought Hubert was really introspective, too, talking to the guys over there asking about sort of reflective type things. Hubert went deep and really sat, thought about his answers and all, but then he circled back. They are 100% focused on what they've got to do Saturday. And I agree with Evan. For a while there, I wondered, could they beat them in Cameron? I don't have those doubts now. 2 years ago, they got their ass beat in the Smith Center. And then they turned around and won two of the biggest games in the rivalry history. Adam, I'm not going to put you on spot prediction-wise. You've been nailing predictions lately, but what else did you glean from today that sort of tells you that this team is different? This team's locked in and ready for the challenge they're going to get.
Ooh, I need to come up with a prediction. I haven't thought about a prediction.
Whew. Yeah, we'll probably stay away from those on Duke. Unless when's FanDuel go live? I'll let you predict on FanDuel.
Is it March 11th? I don't know. We've been getting emails like crazy because, you know, they want anyone who's in any sort of media sphere to promote it, you know.
Yeah.
I'll forward them to UTA. How about that? And
I get some of them. They want to do an interview, you know, or attend an interview with a bunch of, like, I think Hansborough was one of them or something. Okay. I'm like, yeah, just send me the free money. I'll donate $20.
You can spread it around the Johnston County circles that you frequent. But yeah, I do have a quote, but I was muted to try not to, you know, make a lot of noise typing and things like that. But I agree with what Evan was saying earlier. It may be a little recency bias after seeing them blow Notre Dame out of the water the other night, but and then talking to them and hearing the things that we're talking about. But I the last couple of weeks, I've kind of been like, man, that's going to be a tough ask to go into Cameron and win that game with the way Duke is playing. I felt like UNC had sort of been spinning its wheels just a little bit compared to that 10-game winning streak they had earlier. But, of course, I've changed my mind. And I think they're going to go in there and win. And I the way they played the other night, and I agree with what Evan said. You know, it's convincing listening to them talk. The stuff Harrison Ingram was saying today about the outright title, he brought up to me, not unprompted, but I was asking him some stuff the other night just to maybe help Jeremiah and Evan with what they might be writing in terms of a senior night thing. And he went straight to I didn't say a word about banner or anything. And he went straight to, we're going to hang a banner and we don't want anyone else hanging the banner, especially the team down the road hanging the same banner. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. But anyway, I will give you my quote. And you did. We must have the synergy going, TA. We hadn't said anything about Hubert, but I do have a Hubert quote. It is not from the start. I agree with you that the start of the Hubert interview is very interesting, sort of like reflecting on his maybe maturation as a coach, how he might be different here now at the end of year three. But this is from the very end, because I don't know. I've been wanting to ask him about this for a while. It's not the most enlightening thing in the world. But so just to set it up, you know, I mean, I'm sure we're all aware. We're going to have a situation in a couple days here next week where RJ Davis very likely is going to be the ACC player of the year. We got our ballots today. If you go into your email at 12:33, I believe I got mine. Dear Adam Smith, you're about to cast your ballot for all ACC, all the instructions. A little bit of a quick turnaround. I think it's Sunday they're due. So anyway, RJ Davis is going to be ACC player of the year. Maybe unanimous. I don't know. I think Caleb Love is going to be the Pac-12 player of the year. I know I've talked about this several times. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I just think it's fascinating. I think he's fourth in the Pac-12 in scoring. I was just looking up. So I asked Hubert about it. I need to ask RJ about it and just see what his thoughts are on that dynamic are. But I asked Hubert, you know, if that did come to pass, what might his reaction be? And he said, I wouldn't react other than joy and happiness. I want to see every kid to be able to have success. I want them to be able to have the same experience in college that I had. And maybe that's naive on my part, but I do. I just have a burning desire for every student athlete, don't know why I had to drop the student athlete, but to walk away from their time at whatever program they're at with the feeling that I had at North Carolina, wanting to never leave and always wanting to come back. And so if that happens, that would put a huge smile on my face. And that's how he ended up the quote. And that's how we finished the Hubert portion of the press conference today. So that was the one that I picked out. I don't know, because I just think it's super intriguing.
It is. Hopefully it happens. And I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to answer questions. We're not going to do story time. We're going to answer questions. We're going to talk about the All-ACC ballot since you have one in your hands. I had some hot takes on it. We're going to have some Evan hot take tournament takes before he gets to go on spring break. And but we're going to talk about Johnny T-shirt right now. Johnny T-shirt. I'm going to get I'm going to get Adam in a Johnny T-shirt, and we're going to load him up on some nice swag at Johnny T-shirt. They give you 10% off if you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, and why wouldn't you be, folks? It's the greatest place to get your Carolina content. You can get free koozies, if whatever you need at Johnny T-shirt, and you get 10% off if you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, no-brainer. Go to johnnytshirt.com. Go see him on Franklin Street. If you're in town this weekend, Duke, Carolina, and Durham, if you're on Franklin Street to watch the game, go buy Johnny T-shirt. Shout him out. Support him. Local business. Look, Franklin Street looks very different than it did when I was in school there many moons ago. Johnny T-shirt was there, and they're there because of the awesomeness that they bring to the market. So shout them out. National Guys Pay the Bills will come right back with On the Beat Live. Shout out to the 150 plus are in here. Tell your friends, hit the like button. We'll be right back.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, I've been on a hot take on this ACC Player of the Year stuff and ACC, All-ACC. I mean, RJ is going to win it. Will he win it in Player of the Year consensusly? I don't know. I mean, unanimously. But I will tell you this, Adam, and I want your opinion, and then we're going to go around the room. If he is not unanimously picked as a first-team All-ACC ballot, then somebody's got to lose a vote. I mean, you should not be allowed to vote if RJ Davis is not on your first five. Hot take or not, Adam?
I mean, a frigid take. Like, I mean, he's he will be first team all ACC. There's no doubt about that.
But unanimous. That means not some troll, as RJ called Armando today. Not twice, somebody just tossing a. I know, that's hilarious. But yeah. RJ has got to be unanimously for me to have any faith in the system.
Yeah, I think he should be on every he should be on every ballot as a first team player. So yeah, he should be RJ Davis should be a unanimous first team all ACC player. He's gonna be a first team all American. I would say. So what am I saying? That you're crazy for saying that, T.A.? Is that
no, like, somebody said that was a bit much. I think Baycott should be first-team All-ACC if Carolina wins Saturday. Do you get the vote after that game? You said they would do Sunday?
I won't vote until after it. Like, yeah, I think Sunday at 2 is when they're due. And I always, you know, knock on some wood or something. I've been lucky enough to do this for a while. And that's what I was thinking back. I was like, yeah, you know what? I always do usually kind of wake up on that Sunday and brew a little coffee. And I don't know. I look at it a little too hard sometimes, but, you know, I don't know.
So who are you leaning towards then? Who are you leaning towards outside of RJ?
For first team, I would say PJ Hall from Clemson. You know, Hunter Salas for Wake was sort of a shoe-in, and now Wake has gone in the toilet. I sort of thought that RJ, Hunter Salas, PJ Hall, and probably I've seen the comments in the chats, guys, Kyle Filipowski, I would think, will be a first-team player. You know, I think Jeremy Roach has had a nice season too, but, you know, I think Filipowski is the best player on that team, which is why I think the way Armando played in the first game of the season against Duke was huge, because I think Armando can do that again, get him in foul trouble and outplay him. But I agree with you too. I have thought about this. Oh my God, Tony's calling me a sellout. Just being honest with you, baby. I would never lie to you, Tony.
I mean, it is. Look, this is one thing. I'm going to get on my soapbox.
No, that's fine. He can call me whatever he wants to call me.
No, I just don't understand why it's so difficult for fans to, and I'm not picking on Tony. I'm just saying in general, if you say anything good about Duke or anything good about NC State, there's not a ton to say about NC State. They stink for the most part. But if you say anything good about a player, it's like you're selling out. That's ridiculous. When you cover these guys, you realize that they ain't much different. They just got different jerseys on. That's what I've always said. Go ahead, Adam.
My guy Gene Triplehorn has an interesting take there. Jared McCain has been playing great. You know, I think Jared McCain and Bub Carrington, I think those guys have you'll see them dominating the all-rookie team along with Elliot Cadet. But, you know, we'll see. I was going to say that I think the Armando situation is interesting too, because, you know, if you look, another problem you have in a situation like this is some people just look at the stats, and like Armando, even though his rebounding numbers are great, his scoring numbers aren't tremendous. And some people really put a lot of weight on that, you know, why you could see like a Judah Mintz, you know, I think Judah Mintz got a lot of love in the preseason. Because you thought, hey, this guy might score 25 points a game because he's a gunner. But I think the Armando thing is, if UNC sweeps Duke, if UNC wins the ACC outright, if UNC is the number one seed in the tournament, you're deserving of having two first-team players. I don't know. I might put Armando on my first team if that happens, especially if he hangs 25 and 10 on Filipowski again. But we'll have to see. I mean, I think PJ Hall has earned it. I don't know what to do with Hunter Salas right now. I was looking at the stats just a minute ago because I think Hunter's the best player at Wake. I thought Wake was going to be a top four. You know, I thought Wake was going to finish fourth, and now they're falling off a cliff. So I think Hubert Davis will be the coach of the year, by the way. It's cool stuff. You know, I thought the kid from Notre Dame, Marcus Burton, the other night, I was interested to see him play. We were talking, Jeremiah and Em and I were talking about it. He's tiny in person. Tina Williams, great question. I think Harrison Ingram's super deserving. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's like a second team type player. But, you know, you have people voting from all across the league. They might put him third team. Mm-hmm. Nobody's grabbed more rebounds in ACC play than Harrison Ingram. He's got more rebounds than Armando in ACC play. You know, but I think those three guys, Armando, RJ, and Harrison are super deserving of being called all ACC players. And I think they will be.
Jeremiah, what you think here? You know, I'm not a fan. When the top teams have really good players, then I think an outright champion can get to if you can justify it. I do not like, unless there's somebody that's just killing it, you know, averaging more points in the league than anybody. You know, somebody averaging 26 points. If you play for a middle of the road or a bottom level ACC team, then I could see voting somebody like that. And I like Hunter Salas. But Adam, your point about Wake Forest, they beat Duke and then drove it straight into the ditch. I mean, Forbes got on the soapbox about the NCAA tournament and all the metrics and all that stuff. And then he went snowblind or something, and they're on the outside looking in. Jeremiah, what you think about all ACC here?
Yeah, he called out Joe Lunardi, and that he got Joe Lunardi cursed. He should have been. Really?
That's a good point.
I mean,
do not mess with Joe Lunardi, right, buddy.
I mean, he messed with something out there, and he's got Lunardi's got the Forbes voodoo doll in his bunker wherever he is. Sorry, yeah. Jeremiah.
No, you're good. So for me, first of all, are we doing it to where it's guard forward center, or can we just do guard forward? Okay. So I got to go. I actually agree with Tommy that RJ Davis should be on every first team. He's got to win player of the year. So he's that's a guard. I'm putting Blake Henson on my team because I think he's a bucket, and I think that he's consistent. Like, he's had, if you look at just, obviously if you watch him play, but then if you just, I mean, the productivity is there. He is one of two, he was on one of two teams that defeated Duke at Cameron. We'll see what UNC does, but as of now, there have been two teams to go into Cameron to win, and he was a big reason as to why Pitt is one of those two teams. So moments do matter, so I'll put him in there. I'm going to put PJ Hall in there. I'm going to put, I know we brought up Mintz earlier. I'm going to put Salas ahead of Mintz because I think Salas is a little bit more consistent than Judah Mintz is. So I would think Judah Mintz is probably a second team. I would probably think Armando is a second team. But my last spot, so I got RJ, I have Henson, I have Salas, and I have Hall. And then Kyle Filipowski, I mean, when a guy is the leading scorer, rebounder, block shots on the second best team, he shoots 50% from the field. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, why I wouldn't put him on a first team. So, you know, I actually was thinking about this the other day, like, how close, you know, these would be. I'm kind of thinking, like, when I was first thinking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, he's for sure in there. He's for sure in there. But then you get to, like, 7-8 guys, and it's like, wait a minute. Like, you know, he can't – all these guys can't make it. So I would think those guys – I would think – so I would go, just for the record, I would go Davis, Salas, Henson, Hall, Filipowski. My second team – I know, I guess we didn't technically ask for second team. If I'm thinking about it, I'd probably go – unless I'm just totally forgetting somebody. I don't think I am. But I'd probably go Mintz would be a second team. I think – Omer and Baycott are probably like a second team. Omer's tough because I know he's not on a great team. I know they've underachieved, but individually, I think he's had a good year. In those next few spots, I don't know. I might have to, you know, I was throwing out those guys because they were in my head for first team, but I might have to, oh, like an Ingram would probably be a second team. And I guess I would need another guard. So I might need to circle back and find a guard.
Reese Beekman's got the Reese Beekman will be on the second team.
Oh, Reese Beekman.
He's not a first team guy. You can't put him on.
You don't have to put him on.
I'm not putting him on first team. I'm not putting him on first team. Yeah, because I think to a certain extent, I know Virginia plays a totally different style. But even if you think of some of the guys Virginia has, you know, had over the years, even though their style of play was what it was, like, they still had dudes. Like, they still had like a DeAndre Hunter and a Kyle guy. Like, they still had guys like that. No disrespect to Reese Beekman, but I would say he's either a second or a third. But, you know, I'll put him on second for now unless I just really feel like – I mean, could one of Duke's guards be a second team? Like, should I put Roach or McCain? Or I'd probably put Roach over McCain, but should I put Roach on there? You know what I mean? So it would be, you know, it's tough. I think there are a few close calls, but I think every team should probably have – every team should definitely have an RJ. Most teams should have a flip. And then after that, it's kind of, I think most teams should have PJ Hall, to be honest with you. But then after that, it's just kind of pick what you want.
Yeah, Evan, come on, speak some sense. I just don't think, I love Norchad Omer. I think he's a stud. But Miami is 6-13 in the conference. Yep. And being the best player on a 6-13, which is what? They're 14th in the conference.
It's low.
That's brutal. They really tanked out in the last. You know, I'm pushing it thinking about Salas. What is Wake? Seventh? Sixth or seventh or eighth? But anyway, Evan, what you got? And then we're going to answer some questions from the chat. So if you folks have questions in the chat, throw them in there.
Shout out to Jeremiah by on the Blake Henson pick. I forgot about Blake. How do you forget about the guy who's like third in the league and had what? What do you have, 41 on someone?
Yeah, 41.
And they may get a double bye, depending on how Saturday shakes out. So,
right, I mean, you know what? Jeremiah nailed it again on the moment. I mean, the guy was standing on the you know, media table and getting, you know, 50,000 birds, middle fingers flown at him when they beat Duke. I mean, that's it. Yeah, Blake Henson's going somewhere on my ballot, no doubt. I kind of forgot about Pitt there for half a second, but nice pick by Jeremiah. All right, Evan, I'll shut up.
No, Jeremiah picked the exact same team that I was going to say, those five. And yeah, Blake Henson, the moment, the numbers he's putting up. I mean, people forget Pittsburgh was 1-5 to start ACC play, and they're 11-8 now and vying for a double bye in the ACC tournament. And they're kind of that fringe bubble area right now. I think I told one of my buddies today, just my hot take for the ACC tournament is I could see Pittsburgh going into DC and winning that whole thing, especially if they are playing for their tournament hopes, because I think they have Blake Henson. I like Bubba Carrington. I like that makeup of the team. They're long, athletic. They've got some grit to them. But yeah, I mean, like you guys have all said, RJ Davis, if he's not a unanimous first teamer, I'd be kind of surprised. I think PJ Hall could probably be close to that unanimous level just with the season that he's had in Clemson as a whole. Norchad Ormier is interesting. Like, I don't think he's a first teamer by any means, and I wouldn't have him on my second team just because I think Miami has not only been one of the more disappointing teams in the conference, but I think the country as well. The issue is, since Norchad was a preseason first team all ACC guy, there's that built-in bias. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but just that name comes to mind just because you saw him on the preseason ballots, and it's tough to drop a guy who was on the preseason ballot, is leading his team in scoring, is top 10 in the league at like 17 or 18 points a game off the first two teams of all ACC. It's kind of a similar, not necessarily exactly the same situation, but kind of like how L. Ellis was treated last year, because I know he was super high up in scoring. Obviously, that Louisville team stunk. I mean, they were terrible. And I think he was he honorable mention? He wasn't an All-ACC guy, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought that was for good reason. I mean, you kind of see now where he is at Arkansas when you put a guy like that on a team that, I guess Arkansas doesn't have that much of a pulse, but they have more of a pulse than Louisville, and L. Ellis is averaging like 5 points a game and not starting. But, you know, Jeremiah's team of RJ Davis, PJ Hall, Blake Henson, Filipowski, and I would still have Hunter Salas there for now. That could change depending on how Wake season ends, just because, yeah, I mean, like Adam said, they have really just face planted after what seemed like locked up their NCAA tournament bid when they beat Duke a couple weeks ago.
Mine, RJ Davis, Hall, Henson, Filipowski, Baycott. If Carolina beats Duke, that's who I'm voting for, who I would vote for. I do not have a vote, but that's who I would strongly suggest Adam Smith vote for.
I'll tell you what we do, TA. The next, and you know, I love our audience like no other. I should have shouted out a week or two ago a dude named Mike I met walking into the Smith Center, and the only reason we met is because, you know, I'm a moron. And I nearly tripped going into the Dean Dome. There was like some of that little fake fencing that I was not looking at. I was speeding in and about fell on my face. And I said something like, you know, good Lord. Or I said something like, ah, that was graceful. You know, and he immediately said, are you Adam Smith? And I was like, oh, my gosh, the accent has got me again. But what I was going to say was, I will gladly, the next time we do this, it probably be sometime in March, you know, when we're on the road somewhere, I will tell you, yeah, my first, second, and third teams. I'll tell you anything y'all want to know. We can post them up here. Our listeners can throw tomatoes at me through the screen, or they can, you know, if you want to kiss the screen, come in a little closer, give me a little smoochy through the screen. If you like what I've got, that's fine. We can do that. We can, you know, you can have at it. You know, there's the all defensive team. There's the all rookie team. There's coach of the year. We can, you know, I'll lay it out there and you can tell me what a moron I am, or you may actually agree with me. So that's something we can look forward to.
We're going to hold you to it. We're going to see it. We're going to see the notepad with the actual votes. All ACC voting, I guess, you got to have them in on Sunday. I guess they'll announce them that week. Do they announce them pretty quickly, or do they hold them, Adam?
It's supposed to be Monday at 4 because you know, I guess they want to get it all out. Tournament starts on Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I guess they want to get it all out there.
Yeah, I guess we'll have an ACC Network drop of the all ACC teams if they do it like they've done the schedule in the past. All right, guys. This segment, we're going to answer questions from the chat. We're going to call it Congruity. Congruityhr.com/Tar Heels gets your small to mid-sized business assessment. They made their business national. They can make your business national. Go to congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. Fill out the assessment. They'll see what they can do for you. They'll hook you up. Help you out if you want it. You don't have to take it. It's free, but it could pay off in a big way. Great customer service as always. Great technology and great stuff from Darren and Matt. All right, let's answer some questions in the chat. Jeremiah, coming to you first. This was answered in the press conference, so this one will be an easy one. Gene Triplehorn, will Harrison's sister wear a UNC jersey at the game? He spoke on that.
Yeah, I remember correctly, he was saying there was like no way that was going to happen. He was like,
I think he said, she said that she can't wear a Carolina thing. She might get burnt, booed out of the building.
Yeah, like,
but no way she wears a Duke shirt in the Carolina section, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the stakes of, because Harrison was saying he had either a Duke hoodie or a Duke shirt on at one of the volleyball games when they were talking last month. That's a little bit different. You know, the setting that is a little bit different of a setting. So I'm sure that he wouldn't want to put his sister in arm's way as well, you know, being at now. But yeah, I doubt that. Well, it sounds like it's a confirmed no. So I don't even have to doubt it. I guess it just won't happen.
Family goes only so far, folks, when you're dealing with Cameron crazies. Let me give a shout out to Marilyn Farber. I don't remember seeing her in the chat before, but UNC class of 76, awesome. If you've been here before, I've missed you, but appreciate the shout out on the board. I want to recognize you. Always looking for new people to join the chat with these guys. Evan, coming your way from M Barnes 915. Aside from RJ, who's the most important player on Saturday?
Ooh, I'll go Armando. I've said it multiple times. I think Filipowski has been exposed this year as a defender guarding the five. And I think Armando kind of showed that in the first game. And if you get Filipowski into foul trouble, they bring Ryan Young off the bench, who I also am not crazy over. I just think in the paint is an area that UNC has a big advantage over Duke. And I think you're going to need a 15 plus point, 10 plus rebound game for Armando if you want to win on Saturday. You can't really have a 4-for-8 kind of night for Armando. You're going to need him to be the Armando that he was in that first game.
Adam, aside from Armando, I'll do it this way. Aside from Armando, Harrison, RJ, aside from the starters, what bench guy needs to step up? I tried to get Hubert to talk about Seth because I think Seth was huge in the first game. But aside from the starters, pick me one of those guys off the bench that needs to play well for Carolina to win.
I'm over here laughing at my guy Tony in the chat. Are you putting Flip on all defense too with the little winky face? well played, Tony. should we talk about Filipowski's choice to go into the teeth of the court storm rather than just standing where he was and letting them run past him? No, we shouldn't do that. Should we not do that?
Look, the favorite quote, and I said it last week, nobody plays on the train tracks when the train's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody knew that train was coming, and I'm glad that young man has survived. And a miraculous comeback. But,
well, he did a windmill the other day. He had a breakaway against somebody in Cameron. And it's one of the first time, maybe the first time in college basketball history, someone has come back from a sniper shooting their leg off and dunk like that. Okay, I'll stop.
From a sprained ACL knee ankle ligament.
I have said it many times. I'm joking. And they're one of the million things I love about having Jeremiah and Evan around is these guys are so freaking plugged in. Like, we were there obviously in Charlottesville covering the UNC UVA game, and they knew it immediately. You know, I'm over here looking like a grandpa writing on my notepad, you know, it always stays close. And, you know, they're like, they're storming the court. I think Filipowski went down. Like, they know it immediately. You know, I'm looking. Evan's got it on his phone. And he's rewinding it. And I'm like, holy crap. You know, like, and this is instant. But yeah, what was the question? Oh, the bench guy. Well, how can you not pick Seth Trimble? Yeah, I mean, anyone who comes into that game, it's going to be important. You know, whatever. If Jalen Withers gives you 8 minutes, if Jalen Washington gives you competent minutes without, you know, looking like a folding chair on defense. But I thought, we've talked about this. I thought, and Tommy, you asked questions about it today. I just thought Trimble was so key to that win over Duke that UNC had. What was it, 10 points off the bench, I think. And I just think that he gives them an element that they don't really have, to where he's so good about getting out and scoring on the break, you know, scoring ahead of the defense. You saw him do it against that Duke game. Sorry, people are slacking me here. These UNC Duke games are so up and down. There are so many runs back and forth. And I think this is a pace and a tempo that Trimble can thrive at. And, you know, I thought what he gave them in the first game was huge, because you take Elliott out and the pace doesn't slow down and he's finishing at the rim. And, you know, obviously he had the concussion there, missed two games, I think. Wasn't exactly right either when he came back, but I think it was the game a couple of days ago against Notre Dame, to where he scored, maybe picked up a loose ball and scored in transition. I was telling Jeremiah, I was like, you know, we haven't seen that in a while. That's that Trimble element that UNC, I think, needs. I mean, you know, how far this season goes, you know, could be determined by a Seth Trimble 8-point contribution off the bench in the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? Like, or the defense, you know, look at the defense he turned in on Burton the other night, to where you're able to take a Cadeau or RJ Davis or a Cormack out of the game, and you stick this super athletic 6'3 jumping jack on, you know, Marcus Burton and just keep wearing him down. So it's an obvious pick, but I'll go with Trimble. You know, his brother has had a couple dunks in that building. Back in the day, a little reverse, I think JP Tokoto threw down that one night. Tokoto had a huge game at Duke one year. Might have had like 28 points, if I'm remembering correctly. 28 points in a loss, but I'll pick Seth Trimble. And I think if he plays well, you know, it's going to be good news for UNC, obviously.
Your point about the tournament, a player like Trimble showing up, I mean, you can go back and look at every Carolina National Championship run except 9 when they didn't need it. 05, Melvin Scott. You got Scott Cherry playing for a minute, 93. You know, you've got all these examples of bench guys popping up, making key plays. But I thought he was fantastic against Duke while Carolina was trying to figure out how to deal with the defense on RJ that you talked about, Adam, today, the face guarding. They face guarded RJ and forgot totally about Seth Trimble. And those 10 points were huge in that game. And so I just think it's going to be, and shout out to Tina for her. That was another first in the history of the game. Is I'm not going to read the chat, but I'll let somebody else do it. But great, great comment. All right, here we come back to Jeremiah. RJ legacy game on Saturday. Does it need to be Jeremiah for Carolina to win this one?
So is it saying that this is an RJ? Is it asking, is this a legacy game for RJ?
Or like expecting one, I guess. A28 can clear it up in the chat. But I'm taking that as I'm spinning a question from that for you. Does it need to be an RJ legacy game for Carolina to win this one?
For Carolina to win, I'm going to say no. I don't know, because to me, when I think of a legacy, because, like, it could be a legacy game if he, like, shoots 3 for 12 and, like, makes the game winner. That's a legacy game as well. So does he need to score 25 points for them to win? No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he would have to, because last game, I think his final total was 17, even though it took a lot of work to get to 17. So would you need, like, an efficient 15, 16, probably. But does he need to be like, you know, Herculean? Like, does it need to be like 25, 30 points? I wouldn't think so. I mean, the only way that that would happen is if, like, you know, Bacot gets in foul trouble early on, or like Harrison Ingram can't make a shot. I just kind of, maybe I'm just thinking too much on the first game, like the way that went. Cause I just remember from the first game, those guys, you know, stepping up. I imagine Duke makes adjustments, and I imagine, but I mean, I don't know. I think UNC is a good enough team to where, and also like a few of those guys, not a lot of them, even Cormack has only played in Cameron like twice. So a few of those guys, like Seth Trimble, played like 4 minutes last year. So some of those guys have seen it before. So you do want to lean on your veterans and things like that. And I don't know, like I'll eat crow on it if I'm wrong, but I don't necessarily think that he needs a 25-30 to for them to beat Duke on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and the key word you said there was team. And that's what Hubert really said when I asked about Seth. He says everybody having to step up. And what you can't have is somebody important go out early in fouls. And, again, the Coach K comment in the rivalry renewed, if the refs don't screw it up, it's going to be a heck of a game. I just want to see it where everybody is on the court playing, all five starters and everybody else. Evan, I'm going to come to you since you do the preview. I've got a player in mind that we have not mentioned for Duke, and I don't think he played against Carolina the first time. If he did, it was for less than my memory can remember. But most important player not in the starting five for Duke in this game who could cause Carolina some trouble. I'll go with Sean Stewart. I think he's a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Stewart's a wild card. I think he's pretty raw. I mean, he showed promise against NC State. I don't think NC State has the greatest big men defensively. Gosh, I mean, as soon as Caleb Foster went down, Duke's bench really took a big hit. I mean, the three guys you're probably going to see off the bench for Duke, it's going to be Sean Stewart, it's going to be Ryan Young, and maybe some TJ Power or Jalen Blakes. I mean, of those four guys, I'd probably say Ryan Young's the most important just because there have been times where they've tried lineups with Ryan Young and Filipowski together, and you have Filipowski playing the four and Ryan Young playing the five. They haven't been entirely successful, but I could see that maybe working out in spurts. But yeah, I mean, Duke's bench really, really took a hit. And, you know, this, I don't know what the timetable is on Foster. I know it's not entirely promising. I mean, I know he's not practicing. He's still in that wheelie scooter something. And he was a solid player off their bench. I mean, he was a good shooter and could drive it to the cup. I want to say he hit a shot or two against UNC, if I'm not mistaken, in the first game. But with who they've got right now, yeah, I probably have to say Young. Stewart could be a wild card, but I still think he is raw in many ways. And I don't know if he will be able to play up to the moment. And I could be totally wrong, and people might get mad at me for saying that.
Sean Crawley in the chat said Ryan Young's like that YMCA guy. But he always, and he didn't do it last time, but he always seems to get a rebound where everybody says, who the hell got that rebound? Oh, God, now somebody's open for three. So, you know, he plays a role, and he does it in Cameron a lot. It's going to be an interesting ball game. I'm going to let the elder statesman of the bunch, Adam, round us out of here. Anything left, Adam?
Oh, we're just getting warm, TA.
I've been told the lights come on and the music comes up and the mics get unplugged at an hour.
I've been enjoying just scrolling through here and some of the comments. You know, Mark Williams says no one has talked about Elliott. You know, I was thinking the other day, this is not necessarily a UNC Duke take, but, you know, I wonder if we should do a story or just try to do something on that guy, Elliott Cadeau. He has the highest degree of difficulty finishes sometimes on his drives. You know, he's all the time taking contact from some dude that's like 6'8" or 6'9" or 6'10" and you know, double clutching, and like he'll have lefty finishes. And what was it, the NC State game where someone grabbed him on his way into the lane in the second half? It was like horizontal, you know, when he finished. I don't know if it was Morsell maybe that grabbed him. You know,
and he still finished. I mean, which was ridiculous. He still threw it in.
His passing and his vision are, you know, phenomenal. And the speed at which he plays and the speed at which he lets UNC play and the way that he allows RJ Davis to play off the ball and run off all those screens like you're watching an episode of Hoosiers, you know, don't get caught watching the paint dry type stuff, is, you know, why this UNC team is one of the best teams in the country. But that dude, what do they list him at? 6'1"? Is that right? I think they list him at 6'1". He can finish at the cup, man. Well, the Notre Dame game the other night, we were talking about it. He drove baseline and somebody hacked him and he shot the ball from like his, like his wrist. Like the ball was falling out of his hands and he still somehow got it up. And I think the thing went in, didn't it? But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Elliott Cadeau fares with his first Cameron Indoor Stadium experience. All due respect to the national champion and the ACC Player of the Year, Justin Jackson. I remember covering a UNC Duke game years ago where Justin Jackson didn't want to be out there. He was tight, and you could tell it. But that's when he was a younger player. You know what I mean? So I don't know why he comes to mind, but I remember being in Durham that night and thinking, man, you know, this is not going good for Justin Jackson tonight. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how Harrison Ingram made the comment today, which he's might be my favorite player to talk to, where he said, you know, I felt like it looked a lot smaller than I thought it would be when he was talking about Cameron. When Cameron Indoor Stadium is empty, you know, it looks like a small place. Now, when all those students are in there that have been camping out for a couple months and it'll be a 6:30 game, they're all liquored up, it feels way bigger than 9,000 people, you know, because as we all know, they are right on top of you. It just feels like a bigger task than, you know, if it was 9,000 people at Wake, let's say, because, you know, it's sort of more spread out. So I always interested to see how people respond in Cameron. I think it's going to be a great game. And like I said earlier, I have come out of the Notre Dame game seeing the Armando tears. I'm convinced now that UNC is going to win. Let's see, what's the score going to be? The first score of the game was 93-84.
Look at the screen. There you go. Tina's calling for it. Let's go.
Gal, Tina. I could never let her down. I'm going to say that the final of this one is going to be UNC 85, Duke 81. And the UNC Tar Heels are going to win. You finish 17-3 in the ACC, which they've never won 17 games, largely because it's 20-game schedule is fairly new. But that would be their most conference wins ever. 16-4 is their best record when it's been a 20-game season. So that's what I'm saying. UNC win Saturday night, 85-81.
Anything left from the congregation? Adam, Jeremiah, and Evan, we good to go? I'm going to get us out of here. Nod, thumbs up, whatever. Speak now, Evan. You might not ever get a chance again.
Oh, do I need to drop my hot take?
Oh, yeah,
we've been waiting on this.
Let's wish Evan well. He's going to be going on spring break here as Jeremiah and I go off and cover these Tar Heels. We'll get him back, but he's going to go, you know, spread his legs a little bit. He's earned a nice little spring break. And so let's everyone, you know, fare thee well to Evan, and we'll see him back in a week or two. But go ahead with your hot take there, big boy.
Yeah, most people go to the beach, go to Panama City or Miami or whatever, but we're not going to say where you're going. But and whatever Adam said you're going to be doing, I don't want to know either. Give us your hot take.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll be transparent. I'll be going to Barcelona for 6 days, and I'm very excited. But, yeah, this was the hot take that I had teased last week. that I have been telling Adam and Jeremiah for a month plus now. And I believe that UConn is going to lose in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And my backing behind this is it's been since 2016 since a defending national champion has made it out of the first weekend. And that just happened to be Duke that season. They made it to the Sweet 16 before losing. For some context, 2016, I was not in high school yet. So that kind of puts it into picture how long it's been. And it's why I think history will continue to repeat itself. And I will say, let's see, what team will beat them? I'm going to say Northwestern and Boo Booey are going to knock off the UConn Huskies in the round of 32. And Adam is going to take me out to dinner.
And I've got UConn winning it all in my future bracket.
UConn ain't losing, but whatever.
Let's get out of here, boys. It's been fun. It's been sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity. Jeremiah trying to bring some sense to this crowd. Evan, you know, we're living vicariously through Evan. Adam, as always, Adam. Great seeing you boys today. Earlier, great seeing you here. Shout out to the On The Beat crew. Shout out to everybody joining us. We shall be back at some point. Probably not next week because Carolina likely could possibly be playing an ACC tournament coming up. And then, of course, the Big Dance is here upon us as well. Everybody be safe. We'll talk soon.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.